Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian. I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with you. And today I'm joined by two of the coolest guys in the whole wide room, Joey and Colby. Guys, what in the world is going on?
My life is dope and I do dope things.
There we go. I like it.
And I'm blessed.
You're what, Joey?
I'm blessed.
Blessed, and there ain't nothing that we can do about it. I absolutely love that. Hey, guys, guess what we've got in the building with us today?
Obnoxious sounds.
Sound effects. Yeah, that's courtesy of our loyal and faithful listener, Miss Janet Earls. So thank you, Janet. We want you to know that you're the best, and we put our hands together for you.
So yeah, thank you, Janet. Really appreciate that one.
Yeah. So how many times before you take that away from me? I'm just curious.
We're about there already.
Yeah, I already one time, but now I've already done it twice. Yeah. So, guys, thanks for tuning in today and gals on the Small Church Leadership Podcast. Today we have a really fun episode. Today we're going to talk about hope. Now, you know, the Bible says hope does not disappoint. If you didn't know that, now you do. And now the hope in that particular context that it's talking about is the hope of eternity, man. The hope that as Jesus comes to get us either on this earth or comes to meet us in death, that we will have blessed eternal hope and satisfaction. As the old song says, what a glorious day that will be, right? But also hope goes beyond just eternity, right? Hope is something that is very powerful for us in our lives as parents and husbands and spouses, all of those things, but especially in the life of a small church leader. So when we think about or talk about the idea of hope, guys, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, or what's something that jumps up?
I think it's like all I've got.
Okay.
I'm not the smartest. I'm not the best looking. I'm not the strongest.
He got the checklist we sent him, Joey.
Yes, I did. So, but I have hope. And no matter how bad things seem to be going, I still have hope. And I can look at that and I can say, you know, yeah, we're not this, or we're not that, or we're not able to do the things that these guys are, or whatever, but I still have hope. And so it's something that lifts me up and keeps me going every morning.
Fantastic. That's really good, man. Joey?
I just hope 2022 is better than 2020 and 2021. So that's my...
There we go. So SCL Nation, you've got both sides of the spectrum today. You're going to hear from, man, all I've got's hope, and it's good. And you're going to hear from, oh, my God, I just hope, right?
Yes. So
that's okay. That's okay, guys. So for me, whenever I think about hope, I think about how the thing that I just said in the beginning, that hope is ultimately eternal, but eternal things are invested in our lives now. And sometimes it's difficult, like Joey saying, man, I just hope that things are better than they were. And sometimes it pulls us through, like you're saying, like, man, I got hope, and that's what I've got. And so, man, like it's good to be in this conversation as we're talking about hope. So I want to ask you a question. I'm going to go out a little bit off script here, if it's okay with you guys. So,
sure, why not?
Why do you think hope matters so much for small church leaders in particular?
I think it's because, like I said, we don't have the answers to everything. You know, we look at our numbers and we're like, oh, we can't compete with the mega church down the road, or we can't do these things that these people are doing. We don't have the money. We don't have that. But if you lose hope, you'll end up stopping. And I talk about this, to my church is we are not a dead church. We're a small church. There is a big difference. When you lose hope, you're dead. You're done. You might as well sell off the property and go be a pew writer somewhere else, because you got to hold on to that hope. And especially as a small church, your numbers aren't looking good. Your offerings aren't looking good. You've got to have hope that things will come around eventually. And you're doing the work for God. You're not working for people. You're working for God. And so I think holding on to that hope is huge for the small churches.
That's good, man. Thanks for sharing that. Joe, yeah. Do you have anything you want to jump in with?
Now, he's inspiring me over there, so I'm trying to let him, yeah.
I'm just going to be quiet and let him talk the rest of this episode. Like, hope is powerful. It's very powerful. And the flip side of that, hopelessness is powerful as well.
It is.
One of them's a good powerful. The other one is a man. It's a deathly powerful. And so today, let's jump into this a little bit more. So let me ask you guys a question. I've been asking you, Colby, but I'm going to switch gears and ask Joey first. Joey, what's discouraging you about 2022? Do you see there? That's a rhyme. It's pretty cool, huh?
Wow.
Oh, I didn't get my sound effect up in time. I was going to have good sound effects. But
I'm sorry. Do I need to wait?
No, it's okay.
It's past.
The moment's past.
Okay. I'm
sure I'll be funny later, so I'll just cue that up.
What is discouraging about 2022? Numbers, snowstorms. If you're not in our area.
Yeah, if you're, yeah.
For I was going to say, let's put it in context, because a snowstorm in Virginia is not a snowstorm in Ohio.
Yeah, correct. Right.
So it was. Right. We had flurries last week, if it was Ohio.
Yeah, again, yes.
I talked to an Ohio pastor yesterday. He has 16 inches of snow on the ground. Our snow came, and it is already gone.
Well, we had 16 minutes
3 days
snow.
Later. 3 days later, the snow is gone.
Yeah, but weather has caused me to shut down a Bible study so far this year, yeah. Move a senior breakfast. I've moved several events, and now they're forecasting more in the forecast for this weekend, which possibly going to shut down more. And so what is discouraging? The weather right now.
Yeah. Thank you, Janet.
Okay. One more in this episode. I'll choose it wisely. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to put a limit per episode.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, that's definitely discouraging because it feels like as hard as we're working to try to gain traction, everything is working against us. And then when you come into these things like snow, like I can't stop snow. Like I know maybe Elijah, if he was here, could stop snow, but Elijah is not here and he's not pastoring the church as I am. And it's like, man. Like we're already, our numbers are down, our budget's down. I need people in the building. I need the building to be open. So, yeah, that's something that's discouraging. Is there anything else that's discouraging you specifically about 2022?
Not that I can identify specifically about 2022.
Well, that's good. We haven't been in 2022 very long. No. So that's good that you don't have many discouraging things, but also give it some time. Yeah. Okay, so Colby, your turn, man. What's discouraging you specifically?
Yeah, I put down numbers, and even though I say it, numbers doesn't matter to me. Numbers of butts in the seats on a Sunday morning doesn't matter to me. What is discouraging is when you look around and you put your heart and soul into a message that you're putting together, and there's a handful of people there to get that message. That can be discouraging, and no matter how hard we've tried. There are people that just have not come back to church. They haven't returned calls or I have. I've talked to several. I've talked to them. I've texted with them. I've messaged them on social media. We've communicated back and forth. I get, hey, pastor, coming to church this Sunday. Okay, great. And then months go by and still nothing. And so that can be discouraging because when you're looking out at your congregation and you're like, you don't need to count them. You can tell. You can tell that your numbers are down. I've convinced myself, well, they're down everywhere. That doesn't make it any better.
Yeah, right, right.
It still stings a little bit that the numbers are down. No explanations. I mean, it's not like they're going to other churches. They're just not going anywhere. And so that's been kind of a discouragement.
Yeah. Numbers are definitely a discouragement. And it's that razor's edge of on one side, it's numbers don't matter. And on the other side, it's numbers matter tremendously.
Yeah.
And it's that razor's edge that pastors and small church leaders have to tap dance on almost on a daily basis. And it can be really discouraging. And what you're saying, or at least let me say what I'm hearing you say, is that you care so much. And I know we all are that way. We care so much about what we're doing to serve and to lead the people. But it is also, while we love those that we have, it's discouraging to see that there are some that haven't returned or some that, for whatever reason, are somewhere else. Or even there's that hope of, man, there's going to be new people in the building this week. And maybe there's one of those weeks where that just doesn't happen, or maybe there's several of those weeks where that doesn't happen. So it's not that we love the people in the building any less. It's just, man, I thought we would have a bigger reach at this point than we do now.
Yeah.
And yes. Those things can be really discouraging, man. And so that's something. Thank you for being honest and open with that.
Yeah, I've learned that I had to quit asking some people when we're going to see them at church because I was just causing them to lie.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I was causing them to sin. Quit asking because they don't lie to me. I'm coming this Sunday, Pastor. I just quit asking.
Man, so. I want to use a sound effect for that one, but I'm gonna just pull back on that. But amen. That's my sound effect.
That's it. So I've had. I mean, we've all probably have had status boards in our churches where they have the numbers that change every week on how many people were here this week. How many?
What is this? 1984? What in the world?
Well, we had one here when I first got here. My first week it said 55, the second week it said 53, and one of the ushers was like, huh, I wonder what happened. And I was like, what do you mean what happened? And he goes, well, the numbers went down. I was like, last week they were here to see the train wreck. I was like, they two people didn't come back.
Two
I was like,
didn't survive.
I was like, I don't know what happened. I was like, maybe vacation, maybe they just weren't interested. I don't know. And so then I came in on Monday and I took that board and I took it down. And I hid it so that nobody could see it because it was a focus that was discouraging. In 1 week, it was discouraging because it went from 55 to 53 and it discouraged somebody. And so I don't look at the numbers every week, but I have people that do and they will discourage me by telling me, you know, hey, I don't know where everybody is. Neither do I. Go get some new ones. Right. So, you know, that's the discouraging part of it. There is. People are not coming back to church or coming back to our church, and we are not going out to get other people. You know, I'm not trying to go out there and fill my pews with church hoppers. I want to go out there and get people that if they were to die today, we're going to go to hell.
Right.
That's a discouragement right now because that's not happening either. So we've got to figure all that stuff out.
Well, you know, these are things that we face whether or not there's a global pandemic.
Yes.
But it seems as if this has kind of magnified that. And if, you know, we're going into year three of what the 18 days of flattening the curve or whatever it is. And one thing that and that's not a political statement, that's simply a statement of fact. Okay. But one thing that I've been able to notice since we've got some time under our belts now is that this has really been a magnifier of who people really are and what people's values really are. Because I see people that are no longer part of our church, but are part of Walmart and are part of Target. And are part of any other public venue. Like I even saw one who I reached out and I was trying to do the virtual pastor thing, checking in, how are you doing, man, loving on you and all that. Pastor, we love you. We're immunocompromised. As soon as we get vaccinated, we'll be right back in. And then like that weekend, they're like posting pictures of them like hugging on people, partying in places. And I'm like, you wonderful person that Jesus died for and the blood of God is so powerful for you. But man, I'm hoping that I can help introduce you to him a little bit sooner than planned.
I thought we just only had to test the beeper.
Remember? Yeah, no kidding. We don't have one of those beeper sound effects. So,
yeah. So that's this, if anything, COVID has magnified things. Like for us at Forward Church, we wrestle with some of the same things that you're talking about there, Colby. Is that not only are we wanting people to return, but we also aren't really putting a lot of intentionality into reaching new people as well. Yeah. And we've almost shifted into what I call a Field of Dreams mentality. Y'all remember that old movie, Field of Dreams? And it's the whole thing where if you build it, they will come. And it's almost as if the way that we've kind of worked around COVID is, well, if we just get our doors back open, people will show back up. Or if we just go online, people will show back up. And that's just not the case. And it's never been the case. But for some reason, I think the load of COVID was so heavy that when we could finally open our buildings back up, we were like, oh, time to get back to normal or a new normal, whatever you want to call it. Don't hit me, please. Okay, I bruise way too easily, Colby. But this has definitely been a magnifier of kind of the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between, some things we need to work on, some things we need to let die, all of those things.
And we've probably got some listeners out there that are like, one of the most discouraging things for them is every decision they make is wrong. Really? Somebody is mad. You opened up too soon. You didn't open up soon enough. You make masks mandatory. You're not making masks mandatory. If you make them mandatory, you don't trust God. If you don't make them mandatory, you don't love us. And a lot of times it's the same person that's complaining. And so there's a lot of discouragement in that saying that, you know, I'm trying to do what's right. And now, you know, we've got snow and that kind of changes. I felt the exact same way last Sunday or last Saturday when I made the call to close on Sunday because of the snow. As I did when I made the decision to open back up after the COVID shutdown.
Yeah, and let me jump in on that because I've talked with you guys about it. I had only gone out in my neighborhood, and I made the decision we're gonna go to online only and not be in the building. But then I went out for my exercise, and I walked further than that, and I saw the roads were kind of okay in my neighborhood, which my church is located in my neighborhood. And I was like, I feel like I made the wrong decision. I feel like I should have opened the doors instead of just canceling them with the way that I did. But that's it. We have all these decisions to make, and it's like we're standing before the decision-making firing squad every time we make one. Something's going to, you're going to get a bullet one way or the other, and that can be discouraging along the way.
Yeah, I opened up because I'm on the other side, my church is on the other side of the water from where y'all's church is.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know this area, we have major rivers and waterways that separate everything in Hampton Roads. And so Joey is across, what is that?
I'm on the peninsula.
He's on the peninsula of Virginia. So he's about, I don't know, 20 miles or so away from us. So the weather was a little different.
Yeah, they didn't get as much snow over there, and they got more sun, and it melted it off. And so I was able to open up, and even open up somebody on this side of the water that tends over there goes, you've been irresponsible opening up. You're putting people in danger opening up.
Yeah.
Thanks, so, Mom.
I wasn't going to say anything about that. But it's okay. She didn't listen anyway.
That's beautiful. So, guys, one thing that I'm hearing is that we've all kind of dealt with some discouragements. Some of the things have been out of our hands. Some of the things have been in our hands, but we apparently don't know exactly what the right next steps are. But let's kind of let me put a bow on this and say just discouragement happens, right? Whether
sure
it's 2022, whether it's 1922, whether it's 1980, whatever it is, discouragement's going to happen. So let me switch gears to the most important part, because we've been talking for about, I don't know, 17 minutes on a, quote, hope episode about all the things we're discouraged about. So let's flip the script and let's talk about encouragement. Kobe, I want to go to you just because I'm looking at you right now. Where in your life, your ministry, where right now are you experiencing hope in 2022?
I'm experiencing hope in the fact that my church is still moving forward.
Boom!
Now
say
we,
it again, baby.
I've got hope that because my church is still moving forward.
Right.
We may be moving slower than some. You know, a lot of the people that didn't come back, we lost some young families and things like that. So most of my congregation right now is of an older generation, and they're not stopping. They understand the importance of the gospel and understand the importance of getting that out. So
this
so,
might be a sound effect moment.
So they
preaching, son.
They are still, they're still moving. And so I stood in front of them a couple weeks ago, and I did a series on Colossians 3 on setting our mind on things above. And I was like, now 2020 and 2021 were bad years. And if anybody wants to dispute that, please do. But as I see it, those 2 years were bad years. Well, do we expect anything different out of 2022 if we're going to do what we did in 2020 and 2021? We have to set our minds on things above and move. We've got to keep moving. We are not a dead church. We are a small church. We cannot use excuses. We have got to go. We've got to do things. And so I'm seeing different things that we're going to do as a church, that we're just not going to let the size stop us. We're not going to allow that to keep us from getting out into the community. We're just not going to be able to do it as big as we've done it in the past. We're not going to be able to do it as fast as we did it in the past, but we're going to be able to still do it. And so that is going to be what is keeping me having this hope.
I love that, man. Let me tell you something. I know that today is Wednesday when we regularly record this, but you are already preaching this week, son. You are getting down, man. Like, we're still moving forward. It may be a slow pace, but the last time I read that book, The Tortoise and the Hare, the tortoise won.
Yep.
You know
every time.
Every time the tortoise wins. And it's all about making consistent movement forward. I absolutely love that, man. If we weren't so far apart, I would give you a high five, air high five, boom. So, Joey, now I know that last time we did the one word episode, he had to follow you. Now you got to follow that. Well, what are you hopeful about? Where are you experiencing hope this year?
I'm going to say I appreciate the question, and I appreciate Kobe's enthusiasm. This was his desire. This was his episode. I wouldn't have done one on hope right now because I'm in a funk.
Yeah.
I don't know other way to describe it. I've told y'all about that. Spiritually, emotionally numb. And I hope God is taking my word dependence and taking everything away that I was depending on besides Him and making me dependent on him. I hope that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I have a hope that's what he's doing. Hey,
there's a hope.
There's a hope.
Hope. There's a hope. And it's a work that he's doing, and not 2 weeks from now I'm gonna be selling used cars. That's my hope. But right now I'm just in indifferent, and so I had to look at this with Kobe's coming with much hope and wanting to give hope. I had to stop and go, okay, what am I hopeful about? And we need to ask this question, especially when we're in times like I'm mm-hmm. feeling right yeah. now, where I'm indifferent to things. And it's not that I don't care. Because if I didn't care, I wanted to go bath today. I want to.
Well, we're glad you care. Yeah, yes, we're yeah. glad you care.
I want to brush my teeth.
Right.
I want to get out of bed. You know, so I do care, and I'm making the right decisions that I have to make. But it's just kind of the season that I am. So I had to stop. What are you hopeful for? Well, we were able to open last week, and we had the biggest crowd so far this year.
Dude, that like when you told me that, I wanted to be like. One, I love it. Two, I hate you.
Yeah, like,
it's snow day when people don't show up, right? There's that old saying, it takes 100 gallons to baptize a Christian, but only a few drops to keep him out of church.
Yeah.
Like, it was snow day in the South, and you had one of the biggest crowds that you've had yet. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, and for the first time in 15 years of being there, it wasn't me and my son that had to shovel the driveway.
And that's even bigger than the crowd right there.
Yeah.
That you had other people that were out there doing the work.
Doing the work. It had about done, but when I got there, I felt like the real pastor. I got to show up when the work was done.
That's pastor timing right there. Pastors are like blisters. They show up when the work's done.
So there is a couple hopeful things that is there, that's going on, even in despite my,
Yeah.
That's good, man. Well, I just want to say thank you for your honesty and your transparency. That's one thing that if you've listened to the Small Church Leadership Podcast for any amount of time, you know that we are who we are. And, you know, that's what you see, even though this is not a video podcast, thankfully for you, what you see is what you get. And I appreciate that honesty and that vulnerability. And to you, pastor out there, that maybe you identified more with Joey than you did with Colby. This is a season. This too shall pass. Now, it may pass like a kidney stone, but this too shall pass. And, man, this is just a dark night of the soul in terms of leadership and where you're at right now. And, Joey, I just want to say the same thing to you, man. Like, you've been faithful. God has seen your faithfulness, and you're going to make it through this thing, man. And so hold on to that hope. At the end of your rope, there's always hope, baby. Come on, somebody.
So what hope are you experiencing in 2022?
So I'll be honest with you. I don't want to answer that after you talking, because I have the tendency of I want to suffer with people that are suffering, and I don't want to come in and be like, well, there's some really cool stuff happening, because I don't want that to be this evil, dirty, terrible comparison trap. But we just recently, Joey and I, went to a conference that our denomination puts on someplace in North Carolina. I can't remember at this point right now. Goldsboro, yeah. I grew up an hour away from there, and it just left my mind. But anyway, and while we were there, I got so offended at the things they were talking about, because it's almost like somebody went to the organizers and were like, here's everything Brian's struggling with. Talk to him about it from the stage. Like, they talked about making excuses. They talked about how you've got to get out and make a difference. You can't either make a difference or make an excuse, but you can't do both. They talked about putting leaders and teams in place. And quite honestly, I've been making excuses. COVID's been my biggest one. Well, we can't grow because of COVID, and we can't reach people, and we're blah, 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 COVID. It's like, oh, we can't take communion because of COVID. Like, oh, I can't wear a suit and a tie to a funeral because of COVID. Like, I've been making all these excuses. And really, like, God was just like, it was almost like God was holding me in a headlock and just like, you're going to listen to what I'm trying to say to you, son, because I have good things for you. So what I'm hopeful for, man, I'm hopeful about, we're about to establish a more refined system and flow with our staff at our church. And I've been holding off on that for various reasons. One of them is I've been fearful. I got a new awesome leader who's possibly a better leader than I am. And I got a new guy in the building who's coming onto our staff. And because he's new and he's a good leader, he's asking hard questions. And I've created an environment where you don't ask me hard questions. You just do as I say, not as I do. And like, God's challenging me. Like, hey, if you want to lead leaders, this is the type of people that are going to be on your team. And so I'm hopeful about establishing new rhythms, establishing new flow charts, having people in the proper place, the right people on the bus. And honestly, I'm hopeful about our church and the future prospects of us reaching people for the Great Commission and our church growing. I almost have that same enthusiasm that I had whenever we started Forward Church like 9 years ago. It's like, man, okay, we got this. We can do this. COVID's not a problem. COVID's not bigger than God. We can reach people. We can get this stuff to the way that it needs to be. So, I'm hopeful about that. But the greatest thing that I'm hopeful about is my relationship with Jesus. You see what I did there, right? Okay. And as the band comes forward with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is a holy moment, right? Okay. But what I'm really the most hopeful for is I have been more consistent so far this year with the things that keep me going. I've been more consistent with my physical exercise. Part of that is I'm trying 75 hard again. Please don't throw anything at me, Joey. I wasn't able to finish it with you. But so far I've gone – how many days are we in now?
23 days. Today's day 24.
So I got to get two more days to equal what I did with Joey before I quit on it. So you got two more days. But like, I'm more consistent with that. I'm more consistent with spending time with the Lord. I'm more consistent with, man, I've actually started creating space for my family to spend time with the Lord. These are all new things for me in terms of the consistency with it. And I'm just hopeful that, dude, I'm seeing God show up. And like, yeah, all of the above. So that's kind of my hopeful thing there.
I like it. I think that, there's pastors out there right now that are like, okay, the only hope I got is Jesus. That's really all you need. But you understand that there is so much work to do, especially right now. Small churches are half of the attendance that they were. And they look at that. I had a pastor call me and tell me that he was resigning. His numbers weren't climbing. His congregation didn't have a sense of urgency that he felt they needed to have, that he had to get the numbers back up. He doesn't understand why people weren't coming back, and he was really just down. And I asked him one simple question: how's your giving? And he said, well, my giving is really good. And I was like, no, how is it? And he goes, well, we're bringing in as much money as we were with all the numbers. And I was like, so what happened here was God took the people that were just consumers of your product and weren't really invested in your product, and they're no longer there. But the ones that were committed to you are still there. That means they're committed to you. Hold on to that hope, because you have a group of people that are committed. If they weren't committed, they'd be gone too. And so we have that here. I mean, I say it all the time. It's kind of a joke, kind of true. We're the smallest mega church in the area. And we're making things happen, you know, because our numbers are garbage, plain and simple garbage. But we gave away more money this past year than we ever have. We blessed ministries. We blessed organizations. We gave away, and I yelled at for giving it away, but we gave it away because we felt that God was telling us it was time to tithe, and we tithe corporately as a church. We tithe. And it changed the mindset of the people. I mean, we've had great weeks. And so whenever I'm looking at somebody tells me, you know, our numbers were low, we only had 24 people here today, I look at our tithe and offering, and it's like one of the biggest. So you got to look for those things that can build you back up and get you that hope that you need. Because if you're just looking at the negative, that's what you're going to focus on forever. Mm-hmm. So Start looking for those positive things. Start looking for, you know, that one volunteer that is serving every week, and celebrate them because they are committed. Go find that new volunteer that said, hey, I'll serve this week, and celebrate them because that is somebody else that is becoming committed. And find those things, find those little things out there that you can look at and say, that's awesome. That's awesome, because it'll give you a boost. Look for the positive. Positivity, right? Look for the positive. Because if we're always looking at the negative, we're always going to be in the negative.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Yeah. And that's why I was thankful for you having the desire to do this and point out the hopefulness that we do have. Because I was looking at all the negatives and how up in my feelings. Yeah. here in what's going on. And these are seasons to go through.
That's such good perspective.
That I needed to have a look at what I could be hopeful about. Yeah. And a little bit irritated at y'all too for having so much stuff to be hopeful.
Hey, don't worry. Give it time. Yeah, give it time. Hey, you remember the Da Vinci's cradle? It's that thing that science teachers would have on their thing that's got like the beads in it, and you pull one back and it hits and transfers the energy and the other one goes up. That's how ministry joy and discouragement is, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like you're in the middle and one of those beads that goes up and hits you is joy. Boom, good things are happening. But the other one is discouragement. Boom, there's all this stuff that's happening and you're just in the middle. But here's the thing about that Da Vinci's cradle. Can I get preachy for a second?
Go for it.
When you don't have anything hitting you, it's because there's no transfer of power and energy. Come on, somebody. So if ain't nothing happening, maybe ain't nothing happening in your life. Come on now. I do want to end with this here. There's a book that I'm currently reading called Positivity, and it's by a lady named Barbara L. Fredrickson, PhD. And her research is on studying the science behind positivity. And one of the things that she talks about is the upward spiral. So often when we don't have hope, we go into the downward spiral and we start circling the drain, right? And it's easier to focus on the stuff that's not going wrong. But her thing is this. The science is proving a 3-to-1 ratio that if you have 3 positive things that you can focus on to every 1 negative thing that happens, what that does is that stores positivity in the bank of your life. And it's like I like to use this example all the time. One of the things I love cooking is fajitas. And my family knows that we're going to do fajitas once a week around our house, and they're okay with that. But the thing about cooking fajitas is one day I was cooking it, and I went next door. I had to get something from my neighbor, and I gave him a hug. This was before COVID, so it was okay to hug people then. And he went, "You cooking fajitas, aren't you?" Because he could smell it on me. And see, the thing about it is like, if you constantly are looking for negativity, people can smell it on you, mm-hmm. especially in your leadership. But the flip side of that is true as well. If you're trying to do this 3-to-1 thing, man, like Colby, you said, man, you got one volunteer who's willing to get to serve for the first time. Dude, that's one of your 3 positive things right there.
That's it.
He said another one. You've got one volunteer that has faithfully served all the time. That's one of the positives. Joey, you got other people that are willing to shovel snow. There's 3 positives right there. Now, I know it's 2 different people here, but the principle is this. If I can look for positive things to override the negative things, eventually it comes to a tipping point in my life. And so with that being said, as we prepare to go to our close today, I want you guys to know with Small Church Leadership that you have 3 positive things to every negative thing in your life. And those 3 positive things are Joey, Brian, and Colby. We love you guys. Did you see what? Was that cool or what?
That wasn't even playing.
Wait. I get one more sound effect. So as you know, this is my final sound effect to say we gone. Thank you, Janet. Okay, so guys, we love you. We're praying for you. Joey, why don't you share with the people something that they can do to help us out?
If you would go to wherever you're getting this podcast and give us a 5-star rating, we would highly appreciate that.
And go to Facebook.com and type in the search bar Small Church Leadership. Check out our Facebook page. We've been putting some stuff out there. This past week was what Brian is reading. And
that's this past week in real time, but not whenever this episode comes out. It's not this past week.
Well, a couple weeks ago. Then. Anyway,
because pre-recording that changes.
That's true. I was thinking that this one was being put on Monday. So anyway, we've been putting some stuff out there about what we're reading, and we're asking you what you're reading. So participate with us. Tell us what you're reading, because we're looking for books. We're looking for other things to read. So if you've got something that you're like, guys, this is gold, give it to us. And if you're reading something that's garbage, tell us that too, so I don't waste my money and buy it.
That's right. So, guys, thank you so much, man. We love you wherever you're at. If you're feeling a lot of hope or you're not feeling any hope at all, we just want to give you some of our hope. It's okay to borrow hope for a little while. And, you know, hope is like love. The more I give it away, the more that I get. I don't ever run out of it. So, guys, we love you. Thanks for listening to the Small Church Leadership Podcast. Here's the thing that's interesting. Next podcast episode, we're going to talk about leadership insecurities. Uh-oh, that was my idea to talk about that. But you know what? We all have some insecurities that we deal with, and so we're going to unpack that and talk about that on our next episode. So this has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church, at least prayerfully and hopefully helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian.
I'm Joey.
And I'm Colby.
And we will see you next time, guys. We love you. Bye now.